We're about to have another conversation with Taylor Branch, of course, the Pulitzer Prize-winning author of the great trilogy on the era of Martin Luther King, Parting the Waters, Pillar of Fire, and At Canaan's Edge. And he's been recently teaching his course on the civil rights movement called Citizenship and Freedom, the Civil Rights Era, at the University of Baltimore. The last class is tomorrow night, but it's a very special class that fits in also with his philosophy of what this course should be about, what education should be about. And Taylor, welcome. Good to have you back with us.
Thank you, Mark. Nice to be back with you.
So let's take a step backwards a minute. And I know you've been doing this course, Citizenship and Freedom, the Civil Rights Era at UB, all semester. But what is the genesis? What are you doing exactly with this course?
Well, I'm doing two things. Number one, on the content of it, I think the civil rights movement is an untapped field to teach citizenship to young people today through civil rights history. It's so amazing that history was made in the 1960s, 50 years ago, by people the age of today's college students, and many of them don't know about this and are amazed to find out that people their own age made such positive contributions to the United States.
Mm-hmm.
So in content, it's wonderful, and we still have a lot of veterans of the civil rights movement that they can hear from directly, like Harry Belafonte and Bob Moses and Julian Bond and others that we've actually had come into the classroom. But structurally, on top of the content, I really think that online education has a big future if you can make it academically honest and have grades that you can make education more affordable for students. You can scale it up, and that's really what we're testing with this model at the University of Baltimore, whether we can deliver a unique course potentially to people all over the world at an affordable price so that they can get credit.
You hit the magic word in higher education these days, words, I should say, to affordable price.
Right. Well, I think that it's difficult, and I think in some respects education is facing a crisis. There are too many burdens being heaped on students for too much. And right now, there's only one model for most people, the way they go to college, which is that they apply, they go to college, they get in, and they go for four years or more, and they pay a set tuition, and the tuition rate is going up, and they have to apply for loans to finance it. We're trying to offer here a course for those interested in history, for those interested in citizenship, a course that you can see people on in the classroom, but you can also participate online, potentially from anywhere in the world, for credit that you can transfer to another university or have transferred while you're actually at another university, so that the way people get their education is going to change in the future. And I think this may make it affordable if people who attend or who look at it online find it engaging. I mean, if they think it is high quality, then it has a future. That's why we're opening up this last class to anyone, whether they're enrolled or not, anyone, just to get a sample of what it's like to watch me and my students engaging with Harry Belafonte about the end of the King era and his acquaintance with Dr. King right before he was killed in 1968.
So how does it actually function? So your class is holding this class at University of Baltimore physically.
Yes.
But it's being conducted on several campuses at once. Is that how you're doing it?
Yes. Well, the University of Baltimore and the University System of Maryland have supported the infrastructure to actually offer the – we have students in the class, but the class functions almost like a TV studio, and it is beamed simultaneously to, for example, a history class at LSU in Baton Rouge, and they sit and watch it, and they participate, and so do students at Coppin State and other places institutionally. Plus, people can take part as individuals, as, you know, part-time students, or even as just continuing adults who are curious, but for a very, very small fee can have access to the class without getting any credit. So there are a number of different ways you can participate in the class. The strange thing is that to put everybody on an equal footing instead of raising their hands in the class, which the people online can't do, everybody tweets their questions and comments, and they debate with each other, and their tweets come up on with my associate instructor, Jelani Favors, in the classroom. So we get questions and comments from all over the place at once, and the students were pretty amazed that rather than raising their hands, they're supposed to tweet in class. They said, at the first class, they said, how do you know we're not tweeting our girlfriends? And we said, well, we don't care, but you won't get credit for participating in the class if you're tweeting your girlfriend, because everything comes up on this bulletin board and is preserved as your comments, your questions, whether they actually get addressed in the class or not.
I love that. So is Jelani Favors teaching the course with you physically at the school, or is he somewhere else?
No, he's sitting right there with me.
Okay.
He knows the students. He helps me grade the papers. He's been a wonderful associate instructor so far. He's a PhD from Ohio State. And so he's there in the class with me. But LSU has its own instructor. And so what we're doing is testing the notion that associate instructors can grade the weekly papers in consultation. They see how I grade my papers, and they grade theirs. And theoretically, we could scale this up and have lots of people offering good, honest courses of academic integrity on what I think, of course, I'm prejudiced. I think that it's a vital issue for American freedom, how people conquered in the 1950s areas of prejudice and injustice in America that nobody believed it was possible to address.
So this is just fascinating to me. So the in terms of the model that you are trying to develop or positing that can actually maybe change the nature of education, you're saying you see the future of education in part being online in places to make it more affordable. Students go into great debt but can get real serious content and be in touch across the nation and plug into this just sitting at home.
Sitting at home or
wherever.
Theoretically, somebody at the University of Wisconsin or the University of Cape Town in South Africa could be enrolled in another school but be aware of certain specialty classes that they could take and get credit toward their degree transferred so that the whole world might, basically the curriculums might expand so that you could get your education and get your qualifications from a whole host of courses offered from lots of different points around the world. But it's not a MOOC. There was MOOCs were a big fad. It means massive open, meaning totally free, and you don't get any credit for them. And they got a lot of publicity because courses claimed to have 40,000 people taking it, but none of them had any skin in the game. They had no money invested, so it was not a sustainable model, and nobody was getting any credit. To me, to make something sustainable in the long run, you've got to be paying something, and you've got to be and you've got to be doing the work, and you've got to be committed to something. You do have to learn. You do have to be measured. It has to be an honest course. But the Internet offers a way of scaling that up so that you can reduce the unit cost per credit for students and make it affordable. I think we have to do that.
So talk a bit about what students experienced so far this year in Citizenship and Freedom and what they've done in the semester.
Well, this is the third or fourth time I've taught it. I taught it at Chapel Hill and other places. So, of course, this is my life's work, this period. But we try to take the modern civil rights movement starting in 1954, basically the period from 54 to 68, and go through material. They have online readings. They have my little short compact history, The King Years, as their short text, but they also watch Eyes on the Prize and other films each week, and they write about it each week. And then when they come into class, often I will have somebody, like we had a class on the Freedom Rides of 1961. We had Bernard Lafayette, who's one of the Freedom Rider and one of the principal activists in that Nashville group was Diane Nash, here to talk about being in the Freedom Ride. So we try to have participants there to engage them as firsthand witnesses. I try to bring my whatever expertise I have from having studied it for a long time, and then we just talk about it, and we try to give them the best resources to make it accessible and alive that we can.
So now, and Harry Belafonte is coming in for the class on Tuesday, and so what's going to happen that day?
Well, he will. It's a 2.5 hour seminar from 5:30 to 8:00, and I'll introduce the class and probably talk about some few matters for our final exam that's coming up, and then I'm going to bring Harry up and we will talk. I mean, Harry and I are old friends and business partners, but the pertinent thing here is that he met Dr. King during the bus boycott in 56 when Harry had just had his Calypso album as the first million-selling album in history out, and they became friends and close confidants, more than most people realize, up to the point that Harry stayed with Dr. King and was Dr. King stayed with Harry just a few days before he was killed in Memphis and was consulting him about what to do. So we can bring stories from that period and what it meant to Harry personally to the students, and they ask questions. And usually we bring up a couple of students out of the class to actually sit there and engage him verbally, and everybody else tweets their questions along with the online students. So we try to have a discussion about what that history was like for Harry personally, what I think it means for America historically, and how the students bring those issues forward into today.
So people want to participate in this tomorrow. If they want to be there to talk with you and Harry Belafonte and Jelani Favors and participate in this class locally, what do they do?
Well, if they want to come, the easiest thing to do is to go onto the course website, freedomclass.org, it will say right there that Harry is coming. It says news. He'll be there on Tuesday, May 6th, and if you want to come, we have extra room, we have seats, and we have some standing room, but it's in the great big moot courtroom in the old UB Law School, which is now called the Learning Commons at the University of Baltimore, right near the train station in downtown Baltimore. But the information, the directions, parking information, everything is available right on the course website, freedomclass.org. Here in Baltimore for Tuesday night.
This must be really exciting, I mean, for you to develop this. I mean, this whole, I love this idea, of history as a way to teach citizenship and the idea of how to broaden it to greater masses of people who really want to think about who we are and to engage a larger body of thinking people, young and old students. I think this is an interesting concept. I mean, how has it been received by the folks you've been working with? I mean, I can see it being received by the students and liking it, but how's it been received by the institutions themselves?
Well, I think a lot of institutions are puzzled by it. They just have a hard time wrapping their mind around anything that breaks with the traditional approach. I mean, in some ways, it's very traditional. It is a seminar. We do try to apply theoretical knowledge and personal experience to issues of today. But in other ways, it's not, in the sense that it's potentially accessible to anybody around the world, and everybody is so accustomed to thinking of college as an experience for 18-year-olds that you have to prepare for and then ship away for 4 years. Whereas this is a course that anybody could take at any stage in life, whether they're enrolled in another college or not, and for learning or for credit. And we think it's important. We think the citizenship is important. This is my personal belief, because we're not teaching it much in America. We've de-emphasized even American history because we're only testing in the schools on reading and math. And America has a unique history about freedom, and it is the way we learn our citizenship. And it doesn't come to the next generation through their umbilical cord. So we're trying to make up for the gap in the way people learn about our unique history.
Well, I think this is exciting. I really think this is exciting, Taylor. I've been really dying to get there, and I feel and people should get there and kind of check this out. I mean, are you going to be doing this course again next semester, or are you going to do something different?
We are planning to offer the course again next spring, not in the fall. because we're trying to get the word out about the potential. And theoretically, the more people that express interest in it, the lower the price point we could set to make it accessible. So we do plan to offer it again. We are testing this model. This is the second time we've done it at UB, but the first time where we've had students for credit scattered elsewhere. And what we're hoping to do is to get the word out and to test what the response is. But we're not going to offer it in the fall. I'm going to be working on my mini series, I hope.
I hope so, too. It's a long time coming.
Well, yes, but we've got Hope Springs Eternal because David Simon is now on it. And he's the driving producer, and we're just about to get to work on that. So I'll probably be doing that through the fall and hope to come back and teach this course again in the spring. But I've always had fun doing it with the students, and this time I've had extra fun because they do make fun of me as such an illiterate on the technology. But part of this is technological, but people can tune in and see whether the technology gets in the way or not. That's one reason we wanted to offer anybody interested either in the subject matter or in this unique delivery system to tune in, come in next week for free.
Well, this is amazing. So Tuesday night, folks, it's very easy to get to. All you have to do is go to freedomclass.org. Be there 5:30 tomorrow night, 5:30 to 8:30 at the University of Baltimore Business School. The law school, excuse me.
It's the old law school, which is now called the Learning Commons Building. The one behind the seated statue of Edgar Allan Poe.
Got you. I'm glad you pointed that out. So, Taylor, thanks so much. This is fascinating. I look forward to talking a great deal more about history as a way to teach citizenship and other stuff you're thinking about. Thanks so much for pushing the envelope all the time.
Thank you, Mark. Nice to talk with you again,
too.
As always.
Thanks.